This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton, live on 7-5 Radio, heard all over on Liberty News Radio Network. We are live. It is September the 25th, year of our Lord, 2021. Check us out at 75radio.org. That's 75radio.org. With me tonight is Walter Yerkew. Walter, how are we doing tonight, sir?
We're doing pretty good, my man. We're doing pretty good. How are you up there in wherever the hell you are?
On the outskirts of Washington, District of Criminals. That's same old, same old. Biden's just doing a bang-up job. But anyways, first order of business, as always, we want to remember members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. And fortunately, this week, nobody was murdered in the line of duty. However, numerous members of law enforcement have been taken down by COVID-19. Officers out there, be careful, because COVID-19 is killing more of you than bullets. Second order of business, all as always, we want to say hello to Little Billy Keebler of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department. Let's hope, pray for the safe return of the cellar savers every call that they get. And now, the reason why we're here. A couple months ago, I was watching One American News, and they had a running a special on a business in Chicago, Illinois, that sold sandwiches. The place is called Nini's Deli. They're in Chicago, and just the looks of the food is just absolutely delicious. So, Black Lives Matter, which doesn't care about Black lives, or people that matter, was asking businesses to support them. One business, Nini's Deli, who's in the business of selling sandwiches, said no. And we're going to have one of the family members talk about what happened. His name is Jose Riesco. He has a hell of a story to tell, and of course, nobody except One American News and 7-5 Radio is talking about what's happening. Jose, how are we doing tonight, sir?
Hey, Pete, I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
Okay, I watched the special. We have it on our website. It's a must watch for anybody.
Definitely.
And your whole family story is very interesting. Why don't you tell us a little about how your family got to Chicago in the first place?
Yeah, sure. That'd be awesome. So my mother's an immigrant from Mexico. She came here, I think, late 60s, early 70s. And it's pretty much a similar story with my dad, except he came from communist Cuba. My grandpa did close to about a decade in a communist jail in Cuba, and by God's grace, they were able to come here while he was, incarcerated back in Cuba. My family came, my dad's side of the family came to Chicago, and thankfully he was able to reconnect with the family after being let go. I guess, I don't know the exactly what happened, somehow the charges were dropped or couldn't be substantiated. So I know it was a real hard time for my family, you know, especially back then. You know, there was no, you know, you couldn't just call any time. I heard it was only the times that they could call would be sometimes even 1 a.m., 2 a.m. So my dad really didn't even have contact with his father for a lot of that time. So you can imagine how hard it is and, you know, just how challenging that was when he was in Chicago, my grandfather, and incarcerated in Cuba. So that led to my grandmother having to just work really hard, you know, on her own, and to the point where she saved up money to buy a little grocery store that's actually still across the street from Nini's Deli in Chicago. Still there, still a grocery store. And then thankfully my grandpa got to come to Chicago and they started a business right there. And by God's grace, they also bought, the building across the street where Nini's Deli, the sandwich shop, soon came to be. Well, a couple of decades later, and that's actually where my mother met my my dad. My mom grew right across the street from Nini's Deli. I could stand in Nini's Deli and throw a baseball and hit the backyard where she grew up at. So they met right there, got married. By God's grace, had three kids. We were born and raised in Chicago, not Christian. Soon after that, we got saved. God was gracious to us, saved me. I preached the good news to my brother. He was a former homosexual, got saved. Now I was married, having kids, by God's grace. My brother Juan, he's the main person in the story. He's the one that's running the business. My mama got saved, and then my dad, thankfully, got saved. He was a Muslim and got saved a couple months before he passed away. So we're happy for that and believing for God.
Wow. So your father was a Muslim and he converted to Christianity?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's an amazing story. And here you have a family of immigrants. I don't know if you know, obviously you don't know this, Jose, but I'm the grandson of an immigrant. And Walter, I believe you're the son of immigrants. Is that true?
Grandson, yeah.
Oh, grandson immigrants. Yeah, so your family comes here, immigrates here, and actually becomes productive members of society. So tell us about the Nini's Deli. Why is it so famous?
Sure. I just want to touch on the immigrant thing. It's funny how we were targeted, yet we would be the people that they would quote-unquote, you know, side with. So it's really like if you don't support our wicked agenda, just want to get this straight. That's how these evil organizations work. If you don't support our agenda, it doesn't matter who you are. But anyways, the reason Nini's Deli was so famous would be by God's grace. As soon as my brother became a Christian, or soon after that at least, God started giving him wisdom. My brother was just serving people, serving them like he would serve God. He said he would serve them like they were Jesus and just really love people and be nice to them and kind. And so many, you can look at the reviews. I mean, hundreds of reviews, it's 5-star. Hundreds, great hospitality. And really just the favor of God, you know, and my brother worked really hard. They got a lot of business deals, Nike. My brother had two shoes with Nike, stuff with Adidas. Got my dad to throw out a first pitch at a Chicago White Sox game. I'd be taking a public transit, public transportation, and see pictures of my brother's. Like, he also had a clothing company that was closely associated with Nini's Deli. You know, he would sell the clothing there and stuff. So, I mean, my brother just, once he became a Christian, he had so many skills that God gave him. He just blew it up, man, and just all these different avenues, and he was cool in the culture. And, I would say that's how I really got big.
Wow, so you got a family of immigrants that come to America. They had raise a family. They start a successful business. Your brother, he was former homosexual, was saved, and he becomes very successful. Wow, it sounds like the American dream. So, anyways, we're coming to our first break. We're going to talk about how Black Lives Matter tried to destroy a family of Latino immigrants. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Take away, boys.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less?
Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Scoop Stand with Walter Yerkew. And our guest today is Jose Riesco of the Riesco family from Chicago, Illinois. His family owns Nini's Deli, located at 543 North Noble Street, Chicago, Illinois. Folks, go to the websites, look up the sandwiches. They look absolutely delicious. Chicken sink looks something to die for. But anyways, Jose, so you got the family business. You're doing well for yourself, being a productive member of society. You're literally a mom-and-pop operation. So, like, the millennials should very, very much enjoy your family's establishment. Then enter Black Lives Matter. Why do they... Tell everybody what they've done to you and your entire family.
Yeah. Well, you know, when that unfortunate situation happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis, you know, they really caught a lot of traction, and they were doing just obviously terrible things, you know, destroying the city, destroying other cities. They were looting our city, rioting. And our church responded by preaching the gospel. So we would go literally where they're rioting and looting, literally on the corner. And we would roll up to them with speakers and cameras and preach to them and put them on camera and things like that. So, I mean, our church is the tip of the spear, so to speak, against sin in Chicago. So I told somebody a couple of days ago, like, I could tell you, I know who knows us in Chicago, and that's the devil. So, I mean, we're, you know, that church that's out there. We're the church preaching and doing the things of God. And so when that stuff happened again, you know, they really started pressuring, I think it was a week later, really pressuring businesses to make, put a black square, like just black out your profile picture. I think it was Facebook, Instagram, whatever your social media use. And then I think specifically for my brother, they even asked him to give money, basically trying to strong arm rob him, you know. And my brother said, no, I'm a Christian. Basically, I believe all lives matter. It's sad about what happened. You know, we don't, you know, we don't think anyone should be murdered or, you know, whatever. You know, things were still coming out. We're not sure exactly what happened. But, so he was even being nice about it. Like, hey, we're really sorry that happened, you know, but we're not going to do that stuff for Christians. And I just want to say, I think it was misconstrued, but I wasn't even a part of the business. I mean, I helped early on. I was a school teacher for 10 years. So when that happened, I was a school teacher. I wasn't even associated with the business like that. I mean, but it was my family, you know, who started it. So, and they basically told my brother that, and my brother says, you know, no, and he's even, like, personally answering questions, like, no, I'm sorry, man, we're Christians, this is what we believe. Like, trying to be respectful to these people and, you know, so they can understand why we're not partnering with them. They support LGBTQ, destroying families, communism, I mean, all kinds of wickedness, witchcraft, literally. So my brother's like, we're not, you know, we're Christians, we can't get down with that stuff. And, you know, they got really upset with him and said, basically, we're going to come riot. And my brother said, fine, we're going to come preach them. Yeah, go ahead.
Paul, you got a question?
What's up, Pete?
Go right ahead.
All right, so the Black Lives Matter comes up, as you put a square on the social media and more or less shake the family business down. And your brother's like, no, it's not our thing. We don't agree with that. And so, you know, good luck with that. So they're going to shake your family down just because they don't agree with their philosophy of LGBTQ and anti-family, anti-America, anti-white people, anti, you know, everybody who's not down with the cause.
Anti-God, basically.
Anti-God, yeah. There you go. There's Black Lives Matter. Then, okay, so they said they're going to come and riot. So then what happened, sir?
So, I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday when they really started getting on my brother. And I honestly didn't even know much about it. I saw my brother put a post on it. And I was in a meeting with our pastors. And he wanted to go on Facebook Live and say, let's stand up for your brother. And I didn't even know how bad it was. I'm like, yeah, come on. So we just started going there and talking about basically just defending my brother. Hey, he's just using his free speech. You know, we're Christians. This is what we believe. I don't understand what's the problem. Why are we not allowed to believe what we want to believe? The people are going nuts. I mean, pornographic pictures they're posting. You couldn't even talk. You can't even have like a normal conversation with some of these people. And that was Thursday. Then comes, I think it was like midnight or something like that. Pastor's like, we need to go support your brother. So then Friday comes and we go over there early to, you know, help out my brother's. All his employees left. You know, they're leaving. Not all of them. The ones that stayed were real Christians, right? But a lot of them left. And then my brother's like, get out there and preach. It's his business. So we started preaching. And that's when the crowd really just started coming, man. And they started coming and just kept coming and kept coming. And we would preach to them, tell them the good news about Christ and try to explain to them these simple things that are not that hard to grasp that my daughter can understand. You know, it's like, we just don't agree with you guys. What's the big deal? You know, and they weren't having it, man. These people don't let you even have your own ideas.
So Black Lives Matter is tearing up cities, burning down cities, screaming Black Lives Matter in the city streets. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. your family and their small businesses, well, you know what? We don't support you. We're going to preach the gospel. Hopefully get some people to receive the word of Christ. And they went mm-hmm. after you. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, and then, so I got to the point where, I mean, the crowd was so bad. We were out there preaching for like 2 hours, talking to people, preaching. I mean, we were being pretty nice. I mean, we were being bold, obviously. You know, rebuking people, you know, even calling names, no swearing, but, you know, and it got to the point where we had to go back inside and we had to get police escort to escort us to our cars. And like, they're like, you know, acting like they're going to, you know, talking about fighting us and stuff like that. But, you know, they really weren't. I think it was A.A. Allen. I know it was A.A. Allen. He said, if someone's going to kill you, they're not going to tell you about it. So I knew they were cowards, but still, you know, we want to take it kind of serious. And they start leaking our addresses. You know, my wife's getting pictures of our home. So people are coming up to our homes, taking pictures of the window. And at the time I had 3 daughters. I have a son now, you know, and, we ended up like at 5 a.m. going to my pastor's house. Cause they're telling them where my mom lives at, where my brother lives at, where I live at. And people are like coming to our homes. I'm like, what is it? You guys are nuts. So we pretty much up and leave the next morning. So within 24 hours, I left, you know, property, homes, job with my family with a couple bags in an old minivan. And we left. We didn't even know where we were going. And we left because of all the death threats. We left everything. We literally picked up and left everything. And we were on the road, not even knowing where we were going. We were headed towards Florida. And then somehow I know how, they stole my brother's iPad. So they knew there's, you know, they were looking at text messages. And they knew we were going to Florida. They even knew the address. So we didn't want to blow up that spot because that was our brothers in the Lord there. So we're in a hotel room just like, man, where are we going to go? And then we just hightailed it west to Texas. And then here we are in the DFW area, you know, and that was last June. So within, you know, not even a day of that riot, we left everything. Wife gets fired soon after that. I'm put under administrative leave because we had different jobs. My wife was a real estate agent. And they fired her, you know.
They fired her for what? She did. Your wife didn't do anything. What did they fire her for?
For being associated with me, calling, you know, saying we're homophobes kind of thing, you know, racist.
But you're not even involved. You're teaching out of school, doing your thing. It's your family's business. Oh my God!
That's what we were saying, man. That's what I'm like. This is like the police were like respectfully, like, you know, we respect police. Obviously, we're Christians, and they were like, and the officer's like, "Can you guys leave?" And I'm like, "Officer, I'm not trying to be rude to you or nothing. I'm really not. I would listen to you, but can you guys tell them to leave? Like, this is our property. My family's been here for 30 plus years, longer than these people have been here."
Right, Jose. When we come back, I want to find out where was the Chicago PD. Where was the media, and what's going on with your church? Stay tuned, everybody. This is Certified Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Over a dozen Mexican soldiers were detained for several hours at the border as they crossed into El Paso, Texas. So says U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The 14 soldiers saying they didn't realize they had crossed illegally into the United States, and U.S. Customs and Border agents secured their weapons and equipment for safety processing. All 14 soldiers, their equipment and vehicles were returned to Mexico. Meanwhile, in Perry, Georgia on Saturday night.
I told you so during the election and during the campaign. Inflation is skyrocketing. Unemployment is rising at a level that nobody can believe.
Former President Trump is at the Georgia National Fairgrounds for a Save America rally. Other speakers at the rally include Senate candidate Herschel Walker. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the My Pillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the My Pillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99, but only if you use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
A photographer is speaking out after people are using his photo for political gain.
The photographer behind images depicting Border Patrol agents on horseback told El Paso's KTSM things are not exactly what they seem when it comes to the photos. From certain angles, it appears to show Border Patrol whipping migrants, but photographer Paul Ratji said he and his colleagues never saw agents whipping anyone.
The Haitian men started running, trying to go around the horses, and that's kind of when the whole thing happened. I didn't ever see him whip anybody.
From the USA Radio News, West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
A federal judge is temporarily blocking New York City's vaccination mandate for schools. The ruling coming after the city announced last month that teachers and school staff had to get at least the first dose of a coronavirus vaccine by the end of September. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
We'll be right back.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We're on the phone with Jose Riesco, and he's telling a heck of a story. His family wanted no part of Black Lives Matter, so him and his family have to literally run for their lives as they are being doxxed. And poor Jose's wife, who had nothing to do with anything, was fired for simply being part of the family. So, you've been quiet. You got any questions for our guest or any questions, comments, concerns?
I always have questions, comments, and concerns. I've been listening to Jose intently, and welcome to the show, Jose. Glad to have you on. The questions that I have are going to revolve around many, many, many years ago, like when your parents came over and opened up this business and started this business. Even before then, you know, there was always some type of protection in the neighborhood that was offered, you know, to the smaller places, you know, before the big box stores and Walmarts and things like that. Because if you wanted to go grocery shopping, you went to the neighborhood grocer. If you wanted to get some fruit, you go to the neighborhood fruit guy, and, you know, and vice versa. Now everything's in one big place. But back in the days when everything was, you know, next door to each other in separate buildings, and our grandparents, my grandparents ran a soda fountain in the 30s, my father's parents in the 30s. So, you know, I know a little bit about this. And the neighborhood protection would come in, you know, the welcome wagon, and say, you know, you give us X amount of dollars a week, we'll make sure your windows don't get broken. And it wasn't that expensive. And my father told me that my grandfather went for it, and he never had a problem. This is different, what you're telling us, Jose. What's happened to your family is there's a group out there that's causing havoc all over the nation. You know, like you said, you know, cities were being burned down, precincts were being taken over, courthouses were taken over, mayors had to flee the city because they were threatened. What's happening is these little, I know you're a Christian man, you know, I'm Catholic, so we kind of see eye to eye, and I want to find the middle word, what I want to use, but I can't find it. You can imagine. The people that represent BLM, most of them are in mansions now. You know, they live in mansions. They drive around in Jaguars. But you don't hear about right. these guys anymore. But, you know, people mm-hmm. just off the street use the name BLM. You know, join us and give us some money. And you don't want to. You don't have to. You know, good Lord, this is America. Right. You know, I'm so proud of you and your family for standing up for your right and what is right. You know, and a lot of times what happens when you stand up for yourself, somebody's got to try and beat you down. And it gets to the mm-hmm. point where you're the problem. That's what people see you as from BLM's point of view. Your family was the problem, right. not the other way around. And in mm-hmm. order to prove that they're the problem, you got to take a lot of punches on the chin. And, you mm-hmm. know, from what I've read and from what I've understand about your family's dilemma is they've taken a lot on the chin. You know, more than most, because it wasn't just that they burnt the place down because there was a riot. They specifically came to you and targeted you, you know, your family, mm-hmm. and then burnt you down
yeah.
when you refused. You see, there's a difference in that. You know, you can call the people that lost their businesses, you know, I think Biden once said, collateral damage. Your family right. is different. Your family is not collateral. Your family was a target. Mm-hmm. Therefore, when this was going on, you should have been protected. And mm-hmm. getting to what Skip said right before the break, you know, what does Chicago PD do about it? I mean,
yeah,
you
no,
can
I
say it out
it.
Loud. You know,
you can say it out loud
that they didn't do anything.
I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. I just want to say it's an honor to suffer for Christ. You know, I mean, I think of my brothers and sisters who are literally dying for Christ around the world. So for us, this is an honor. It really is. We're blessed. We're not victims. We're victors in Christ.
That as for the yes about Chicago PD, I'll be honest with you. I thought they did a pretty good job.
Okay.
And I know it seems weird to hear that, but I'm just giving you my opinion. Think they did the best they can. I mean, they're so lawless over there. They're not supported. These guys are almost the ones in handcuffs. You know, they can't do nothing. I mean, that same summer, I saw them protecting a statue, and, like, people are, like, throwing bottles and stuff at them, and they're still looked at as the bad guys. And so I'm not, like, excusing any, you know, cowardness from them, because I think to some degree some of them were. But I'm just saying in general, I mean, what I saw in that specific situation, I mean, they escorted me and my wife and kids out. You know, there was only a couple of them. Later on, they came with a heavy police presence, I think 2 days later. And I think they did good. So I'm just being honest. I mean, I know I wish they could have done more. But from what I saw, I was thankful for them. And I was, if you watch the original video, I have it on my Facebook. I even was saying, officer, I mean, we don't want to problems with you guys, but we're not going to leave. You know, you need to ask them to leave. So even then, we respect police. You know, the Bible says to respect authority. So we did. And I wish they could have done more. But I'm just being honest. I was thankful for what they did. I mean, could they have done more? In a lot of could have done less too. So
in a lot of regards, you know, our broadcast is based on, you know, good police and policing, and, you know, police have limitations. And probably fortunately that they helped you guys out, you know, which is, you know, what they're supposed to do. And that's great. You know, their hands are tied in a lot of ways because, you know, they can't step on anybody else's rights either.
Their hands are tied, but, man. They can't do nothing. They're going to have the races or something. It's crazy.
I'm so happy to hear they did. No, that's fine. I'm so happy to hear that they came and they helped you guys out, escorted you, you know, bodyguards, you know, for lack of a better term at that point. But, you know, then they got to turn around and answer somebody from Black Lives Matter who just got shot. They got to do, you know, they have to handle it all. Okay. And it gets convoluted sometimes, but, you know, I'm proud of you guys standing up for your rights and doing the right thing and, you know, contacting the legal channels, you know, with the police department and, just refusing this vermin that's been pushed on us in the past year and a half, because of, you know, this George Floyd thing going on, a year and a half ago. But you know, you turn around and look in hindsight, you know, you have your health, you know, you have your lives, and you can rebuild. All right. Yeah. And, you know, if, you know, and, you know, Scoop and I and the rest of the team here at 7-5 Radio, we all support, you know, people who can pick themselves up and get back into it again. Glad that you survived through all this. Like you said, you're a victor.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what you are.
No, I was saying we're not victims. I mean, you could say it, but I mean, in Christ, it says that, you know, we're blessed. I say we're victors in Christ. But, and if I can say something, can I?
Sure,
can I
real quick?
Yeah. Also about the police. Again, I want to honor them. I want to say thank you to them who did come out there. Because, again, I know their hands were handcuffed, even now, but especially then when, like, you know, whatever they do, it's like they're going to be called a racist or, like, I'm like, most of these guys are just normal dudes just doing their job, you know? I'm like, my neighbor growing up, he's 1 year older than me. I talked to him a couple months ago. He's now a police officer on the beat protecting East Delhi. He's a normal guy I grew up with, you know? So, I get it, man. That's what I'm saying. Could they have done more? Maybe. But could they have also done a lot less? Sure. They could have been able to forget it. So I'm thankful for what they did. You know, I remember them literally came in and helped most of us walk out, you know, and I had my wife and my three kids there. So I don't want to talk anything bad about them for them, you know, and they got it so hard already with Mayor Heavy Hand. That's what they call it. You know, they just pray for her to get saved. And, you know, she doesn't even support. It's funny how she don't support the police, but she would have, you know, private detail at her house. So,
yeah, it's a protective detail. They got that in New York, but we'll talk about that later. Well, anyways, I understand that Black Lives Matter went after your church.
And here's what it is. That, like you guys are saying, they come at us personally. It was because of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's because of John 7:7. The Bible says that the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works were evil. So who was it that said that? That was Christ. He said the world hates me because I tell them that they're evil. So we did that. We testified. I'm telling y'all, just letting you know, you guys are not Christians. You guys are wicked. I would tell them stuff like that. You're cussing. You're having sex out of marriage. You guys support LGBT. And that's why the hate came. Oh, go ahead.
Jose, we're coming on our last break. Can you stick around a couple of minutes so you talk about what's going on in the final outcome? Stay tuned, everybody. 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. Take away, boys.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do, at some point you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
All right, we are back with Jose Riesco talking about his family business that was shut down by Black Lives Matter. The whole family has been threatened. They had to literally run for their lives. But if you go to the website, 7fireradio.org, and at the bottom, the search engine, type in Black Lives Matter followers are useful idiots. You'll see the video that was only on One American News. Jose, real quick, they went after your church. So these Black Lives Matter people went after God's house. I was watching the video. You have members of the church who happen to be black. What Can you explain what's Black Lives Matter thinking going after a church that has black parishioners? I mean, first of all, going after the house of God, but then they're going after a church with black people happy to belong to that church.
Yeah. It just shows the wickedness of the organization. It just shows the true heart of it is to come at God and his scriptures. That's really what it was. Because what does Jesus say? He says, on this rock I built my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So, I mean, we literally took up hell. Right before that, we actually opened up during the COVID, and we had the mayor threatening, you know, our building. We had them rioting outside of our church. We were the second church. Elam Pentecostal was the first. We were the second church in the neighborhood to open up. So, you know, they were saying we're killing grandma and stuff like that. So we were already used to it, man. And we've been so used to it. And my pastor's always been a street preacher. So, I mean, we've been used to the persecution, but that was when they took it to another level, you know, like threatening to burn the building down with people in it. It's like, you guys are clearly wicked. Don't say you're a Christian. You know, that would be the funny part. They'd be like, we're Christians. So we're like, you're not a Christian. I'm like, you're not a Christian. Christians don't do these things. Christians don't support LGBTQ. Christians believe Jesus is God. Christians believe that there's only one way to be saved is through faith in Christ, not by works. So that, it just showed their heart, man. It just showed that they're wicked. It showed that they don't serve God, you know. It just shows that they're outside of the devil.
Right. Jose, what is the name of the church? Because, like, unlike a lot of these churches where I'm not going to drop any names because they rent out the church's size of a basketball arena or a hockey arena, and these people live with a lap of luxury. But your church, I mean, they're literally in the street, feet to pavement. What is the name of the church so people can check it out? They want a real church, learn the Word of God.
Yeah. Yeah, we were actually preaching in Humboldt Park today. It is a tough neighborhood in Chicago. And I just talked to my brother before I got on, and they were going to go preach in downtown right now. It's Metro Praise International. So we have a church in Chicago, and then we started the one in Dallas. So there's the Metro Praise International Chicago and one in Dallas.
Right. I mean, these people are the real deal. I mean, you turn on the TV Sunday mornings and you see certain ministers in these palaces with thousands of people. And, you know, when the rubber meets the road, they're nowhere to be seen. But anyways, other than One American News and this outlet, what has the media said about you and your family and your brother and the business and just the absolute harassment from Black Lives Matter?
You know, for the popular media, you know, Fox and them, even the, you know, usually talking trash, to be honest with you. That's what it was. But we had a lot of support from a lot of Christian brothers, Dr. Michael Brown, Apologia Radio. If you're in Christian circles, you might know, you know, about them. Revival Radio, TV, countless. So we had a lot of support from a lot of Christians, you know, and we thank God for that. And for the other people, obviously, you know, they're on the same side as BLM anyways. And something I want to clarify, I mean, you can be a conservative in all those things, which I never even had to deal with until I came to Texas, but it means nothing if you're not a Christian. You know, all that stuff is meaningless, you know. You'll go to the same hell as the BLM person if you're not saved by faith in Christ. It doesn't matter what you support. So, you know, even all the news stations in our city, you know, not all, but most of them blasted us.
Of course. I mean, here you have a immigrant family with the business, locally owned business, family born, you know, raised in Chicago, lived in Chicago, pays Illinois taxes, which are just ridiculous. And they have a different opinion of you know, these horrendous, awful people who just take it's a shakedown, and you're treated like trash. But anyways, well, you got anything else for our wonderful guest?
Yes, sir. I just want to
tell Jose and his family, you know, good luck in your future endeavors. And, you know, as a fellow American, you know, it just boils my blood when somebody decides that, oh, I'm going to just take from you because you have. That's just out and out wrong. Those people, there's a special place when they meet their maker for them. And all in all, God will sort all those people out in due time.
Thanks for the sympathies, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. Jose, any last words? Anything you want to promote or say?
Yes, of course. I just want to say thank you to you gentlemen and everyone else working here. I really appreciate it. And I would just want to finish with what I was doing there. We didn't respond with anger. I mean, we got fired up, but we don't want to see any of those people go to hell. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. You know, I want to see everyone made right with God. I have the heart of God. And the Bible says that God is patient, not wanting anyone to go to hell, but for all to come to repentance. And the Bible says that God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. So at the same time, I do want evildoers to get judged, but we still want them to be saved if they would humble themselves. So I want to say what I was saying out there. I was saying John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the good news is that Jesus is God's son. He is God who became a man, the Holy Trinity. He died on the cross for the sins of human beings. And only by faith in him, not by coming to a pope or coming to a church, only by faith in him can you be saved. And anyone who calls on his name will be saved. Anyone calls on his name. A Mormon could call on his name and leave Mormonism and follow Jesus. Roman Catholic, because my mama was a Roman Catholic. She left the Roman Catholicism and came to Christ, the real Jesus, and he set her free. And that's the same thing we were saying there, man. And that's why it got so big, because we shared the gospel, the thing to save sinners. And the Bible says in Romans 1:16, we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed of the gospel of God, because there's the only thing that could save a sinner. And that's what we're here to do. And we're not angry at them. We love them. We want to see them come to Christ. I mean, the guy who started it, I was messaging him a couple weeks ago, like, man, I love you, man. The guy who started hoping, I want you to become a Christian. And he was angry cussing at me. But my heart is that's the guy who started the whole, helped start the riot. I'm like, man, we love you, man. We want to see you become a Christian and join our church. So that's a heart for everyone, that they would become Christians. Everyone, leave Mormonism, leave Roman Catholicism, leave BLM, all that. Leave that stuff. Leave all that. If you're a conservative, you love America, praise God. But if you're not a Christian, you're going to go to hell. So we want everyone to become a Christian. And that's our heart.
Right. Well, you know, we see things a little bit different. If you're a Christian and, you know, how you worship God is your business. Because on this network, we have Roman Catholics. We have LDS. We have Southern Baptists. We have other non-denominational Christians, things of that nature. So, but anyways, this is definitely a Christian network. We're on Christian radio stations, and we all love Jesus in our own special way. But you know, it's good that people do follow the Word of God in their own way. Organized religion is, a lot of it is just it's almost like they're turning to the dark side. They're, you know, certain denominations are promoting homosexuality, promoting Black Lives Matter.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like they're almost having like an ATM in the church. It is ridiculous. I know there's a video clip on YouTube, some church in Detroit. The preacher was shaking down his flock for more money, and the preacher drove like a luxury car, and he lived in a very nice part of town. And meanwhile, the people that live in this neighborhood in the attend church, they live in abject poverty, and they almost started a riot because the minister was shaking down people. But anyways, Jose, we'll give you the last word before we sign off for this week.
Yeah, again, thank you so much. And I say all that just because it's truth, you know, and Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So, I mean, we could have another show, and I can show you how, you know, coming out of Roman Catholicism myself and how the Mormon and all that stuff is wrong as a cult. I mean, I would love to talk to people about that and help them out with that. But the scriptures, if you want to have me on one day, I would love to do that.
Well, Jose, but again, like we said before, people that worship God in their organized religion, non-organized religion, that, you know, that's their business. But we're going to keep it that way because, like I said before, there's nothing.
Okay.
I mean, how you worship Christ is your business and shouldn't be nobody else's. But we'll just leave it at that. But anyways, next week, folks.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. But anyways, real folks, we only got a couple of seconds left. Next week, we have another huge guest. Like traditional, we won't say it until this person actually gets on. But anyways, we come to another into the show. Jose, I want to thank you for appearing on the show. Walter, you did another bang-up
job. Thank you guys for having me.
And
appreciate it.
Those out there listening, just remember, this is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerke saying you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.